In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us unite our hearts in opening prayer and thanksgiving. Almighty Creator of all that we see, Thou who hast created all life, and continues to create life this day, our dear Heavenly Father, we approach you this morning simply begging of Thee. Dear Father, increase our faith. Dear Father, keep us in the place of a child. Keep us as newborn babies, desiring the sincere milk of Thy Word, that we may grow thereby. Dear Father, so oftentimes in this life we are beset by so many different happenings and experiences in our life. Dear Father, many times we feel ourselves weighed down. Many times we are doubting. Many times we are beset with sorrow and yearning. Dear Father, uplift and comfort us. Help us, dear Father. And as thy psalm writer has prayed unto thee, we also pray. Restore unto us the joy of thy salvation. Instill in us, dear Father, the heart of a little child. For we, dear Father, have the most reason for joy. We have the most reason to be hopeful of all people here upon the earth. For Thou hast called us as Thy children. And we ask, dear Father, preserve us here in this place of a child, so that when we close our eyes for the last time, here in this life and in this place, that we can open our eyes again there in the glory of heaven with Thee. Dear Father, we ask this morning, open Thy Word unto us wherever Thy Word is spoken this day. Feed and nourish us, dear Father, we who so often time are in need and struggle. Dear Father, we thank you for the goodness, for thy love, and for thy grace and thy mercy and thy forgiveness. We thank you, dear Father, for this, our daily bread, for our homes and our families, our loved ones, our dear brothers and sisters in living faith. But above all, dear Father, we thank Thee that Thou hast chosen us to be Thy children. In Jesus' name, Amen. I was looking for a text last evening and this morning early. Oftentimes, even though the Bible is so full of such wealth and goodness, there are those times when we struggle where to study. But I was brought to this place and this happening here in the Acts of the Apostles from its fourth chapter, when Peter and John had been imprisoned and were now before the council, the high priest, and all of their kindred. And so I'm going to start reading from the fifth verse of the fourth chapter of the book of the Acts. And these words are in Jesus' name as follow. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have ye done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and unto all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. And neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Amen. Talked briefly to the Sunday school children this morning and wished them a Merry Christmas. And I wish you also a Merry Christmas. Although the children are back in school and those of us at work are back at work and Christmas is behind us, and yet one finds it difficult. And indeed, we have reason to wish one another a merry and blessed Christmas every day. For indeed, we, the chosen of God, we have this little child, the baby Jesus, in our heart every day. And it is important that we bow before him every day. And important, as the wise men, that we give those gifts unto him every day. Indeed, that we remember that golden rule of our Lord Jesus, do unto others as you wish them to do unto you. And so we desire to be kind unto one another and love one another and help one another and uplift one another and comfort one another. And in this way, we are presenting those gifts that God has given unto us unto the baby Jesus, for indeed he dwells in the hearts of his own. It's such an important reminder unto us that we would endeavor to do this, isn't it? This text that we read here happens a long time after Christmas. Indeed, many, many years after. Indeed, the baby Jesus grew up to be a youth and a young adult and onward to the middle age. And he was about around 30 years old when he began publicly the work of our Heavenly Father, that which God sent him to do. That is not to say that he didn't do work before this, for indeed he did. but not publicly. And indeed, everyone that approached and met Jesus experienced the love and the grace and the mercy and the miracle of God every day. And there was that little child then who asked, that young child who asked their mother when they were celebrating Christmas this question: is this the same Jesus that hung on the cross? And indeed, He is the same Lord. He went on to prepare the way of salvation unto us in such a remarkable and miraculous way that since that day, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people who believed upon this baby Jesus and had their sins forgiven are today in heaven, those who have gone before us, even as we sang this song this morning, for yet another child, a 63-year-old man who has received the reward and the victory prepared by Jesus, by this little baby Jesus. This text that we read here has a little history before it, of course. Peter and John were on the way to the temple. The Bible says that the believers went daily to the temple, praising and thanking God after Jesus had arisen into heaven. Peter and John were again going. It was the ninth hour. There were prayers in the temple that were at the 9 o'clock hour in the morning, at the 3 o'clock hour in the afternoon, and the 6 o'clock hour in the evening. They were going in on the ninth hour, which would be 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And the temple was set up in that way that there was a lower courtyard, and it was a courtyard of the Gentiles, those that weren't of the Jewish nation, peoples. And so Peter and John walked through this lower courtyard, mingled with the Gentiles that were there. And then they started going up this stairway. And at the top of the stairway, then there was a gate to another courtyard. That gate was called Beautiful. One could say the Beautiful Gate. But that was the name of the gate. And beyond this, then, was another courtyard. And it was the courtyard of the Jewish people. And no Gentiles were allowed there. And then from there, it went into the temple where no Gentiles were allowed ever. And in that temple then were performed the sacrifices unto the Heavenly Father, which had already begun then when the children of God left from Egypt. And so for hundreds and thousands of years then, this worship service unto the Heavenly Father was done. Even although when they were in the wilderness journey, it was done in that tabernacle, the tents that were set up and dismantled every day as they continued. But now that Jesus had fulfilled the demands of the law, and actually, let's read that part in the latter portion of the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 27th chapter, the last moments of this baby Jesus here upon the earth. He was hanging on that cross. He had already exclaimed those words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He was feeling the entire weight and burden of the sins of every man that had been born and died, and that would be born and would die from the beginning of time until time as we know it ends. It was an incredible burden that he bore there. Indeed, he went into the depths of hell. And he exclaimed, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And it says here then, in the 50th verse, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. And so on. But what I wanted to touch on was that veil that was hung there, a very precious and thick veil that hung in the temple. And that veil separated the room which was called the Holiest of Holy, where only the priest went in, and only one time every year to sacrifice on the behalf of the sins of the people and of himself. So what did this signify then now when Jesus died? The Bible says, and this veil was rent in two. It was torn into two. It meant that the time of the old covenant had ended, the time of the sacrifices and the fulfilling of the law by Jesus, who indeed had fulfilled it to the most minute detail. So now when the believers, when Jesus resurrected from the dead on Easter morning, and he appeared unto his own for 40 days, and only unto the believers, no one else saw him. And then came that day when he ascended into heaven, and the believers were there to experience that. Luke, the writer of the Acts of the Apostles, was not a Jew. He was a Gentile. And he also wrote the Gospel according to St. Luke. And in the latter portion of the Gospel, he speaks of this ascending of this baby Jesus into heaven. And the beginning of Acts, also he speaks of this. But Luke also testified to this, that Jesus went daily into the temple, teaching and speaking God's precious word and message. And in the Acts of the Apostles also, Luke reminds us how the children of God, and actually in the final verse of the Gospel, how the children of God went daily into the temple worshiping and praising God. But there was one thing that the believers no longer did in the temple, and it was a glaring omission. They did not take part of the sacrificial worship. That had ended. Jesus had fulfilled all. And even that open the eyes of many of those unbelievers that were there when they noticed that the believers did not partake of that any longer, although prior to that they had, when Jesus was alive. So this day, Peter and John had gone through the courtyard of the Gentiles, were going up the stairway up to the gate, which was called Beautiful, to enter into the courtyard of the Jews, to enter into the temple. And there was a man there at the gate. The Bible, actually, when you read about it, he was 40 years old. And he had never walked. He was crippled. And his friends carried him there every day. The Bible says if you have one friend, you have a precious treasure. That's one friend. Precious treasure. Those were dear friends that he had. Because he couldn't walk, he would lie on a stretcher, and I have the picture that there would have been four of them carrying that stretcher, but maybe there was only two. Nevertheless, they did that every day, every morning, and in the evening they would come and get him. And that is how this man then ate his bread. He was begging. And people would walk up the stairway and get to the gate that's called Beautiful, and there he would be laying. The people knew who he was. He was there every day. That's how he received bread to eat. And as people walked by, he would raise his hand asking for alms. And that's what he did when Peter and John walked by or were approaching. And I'm going to read that. It's in the third chapter. I'm going to start from the second verse. It says, And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them, naturally. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Then it says here, And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the Beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. I'm sure it must have been quite a morning there, or mid-afternoon actually, there in the temple. People were already seated there, and the high priests were doing their duty, whatever that duty was at that moment. And in comes this man, jumping and leaping and praising God. Everybody turned to see what's the commotion. And as it says, they recognized, now this was that crippled man. And what? He's leaping and jumping. And he's walking. And they were amazed, as it says. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which happened unto him. And I'm sure then he sat down and, without question, he continued to praise God in his heart. Well, I mean, boys and girls, think about it. This man had never walked in his entire life. And now he was able to walk. That's a pretty nice gift, isn't it? Well, yeah, it is. But there was something more miraculous that happened to him. He had his sins forgiven. It was faith upon the baby Jesus that was able to make this crippled man who had never walked to walk. And this man has been dead close to 2,000 years. That gift of walking has long since left. When he laid down on his bed for the last time here upon the earth, and he was breathing in his last breaths of life. But yes, he had enjoyed that gift that God gave to him, that he was able to walk. Oh, without question, he enjoyed that gift. And with that gift, he shared, I'm sure, unto everybody of the greater gift that he received, the gift of living faith. And so that temporal portion of the gift has been gone for 2,000 years. And yet, today, he is yet enjoying that precious gift that he, God called him to become his child and enjoying the eternal reward of glory. Well, after that worship, the prayer service there at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm sure the people were pretty antsy, I'm sure, to leave. They wanted to know what happened. And indeed, the Bible even says then that when the prayer service ended, then Peter and John and all the believers, as already was custom with them, they left the temple and they went to this other courtyard that's called Solomon's courtyard. And that's where the believers daily had their service, where God's word was spoken. And this day, not only the believers left the temple and went to this courtyard, I dare say, everybody went. I dare say everybody, that temple emptied and they all went to that courtyard. Because as you read further in here, when Peter, well, let's read what Peter said there. 11th verse, again in that third chapter. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people, ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Yeah, all the people. Imagine. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, and this is what he said. He said that, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this, or why look ye on us, or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or our own holiness we made this man to walk? And then he says, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom he delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, whom he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life. This is the sermon and how he began that sermon. What does the, what does God's Word, what does the Bible say of God's Word?
It says God's Word is like a two-edged sword. And the one edge cuts asunder, pierces the very heart and the soul of man. No one is unaffected who hears God's Word. It either cuts asunder, one becomes angry, or the other edge of the sword, how it heals. It heals the burdened heart. But this is how that sermon begun that late afternoon there on Solomon's porch. You killed the Prince of Life. Dear brother and sister, there were many there that heard this sermon that was there at the cross when Jesus hung there, and as they ridiculed Him and told Him, you have saved others, why don't you come down and save yourself? There were people on that porch this late afternoon who were tormented with distress. And it says here, fifteenth, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And His name, through faith in His name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by Him hath given Him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And not only the perfect soundness in His temporal body, but the perfect soundness of living faith. God granted unto Him that grace that He believed at that moment that His sins were forgiven, and the Holy Spirit of our Heavenly Father descended upon this lame man. And he went from a blind one to one with perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And he continues, now, brethren, I want that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers, that is, crucified Jesus, ridiculed Him, persecuted Him, spat upon Him, and whipped Him. But those things which God hath before had shown by the mouth of all His prophets that Christ should suffer, He hath so fulfilled. And then, now they begin to feel the other side of that Word of God, that edge which continually calls one, that still small voice of God, that sweet message of the gospel that you don't need to die in your sin, but simply believe that your sins and doubts are forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. And he says here, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, and so on. You know what happened there that in the early hours of the evening? Now, there was a throng of people. I mean, there was thousands of people there. There was literally thousands of people, because the Bible said on Solomon's porch in the early hours of the evening there were 5,000 men that received the grace of repentance who took this baby Jesus into their heart. And all that life prior, and all the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the sin of self-righteousness, all that was blotted out and washed and put in that great sea of mercy. And all they now saw was the baby Jesus and felt the presence of the Lord Jesus in their heart and soul. It must have been an amazing sight there that evening when now thousands of people were praising and leaping and jumping and thanking God for what had happened unto them. It says here in the beginning of this fourth chapter that as they spake unto the people there on Solomon's porch, preaching God's warm message of grace and mercy and forgiveness. It says, and as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, and they also had heard what was taking place. But that sword of the Word of God, they experience the other edge. Oh, how it cut deeply into their soul. How terrible it felt unto them. The sweet message of the gospel. I think it's in the fourth chapter of Hebrews. I'm going to read that. I'm going to start from the middle of the seventh verse. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would He not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his own. Your loved ones who have gone before are now experiencing this incredible miracle of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man follow after the same example of unbelief. And now he goes on to explain of God's Word. And he said, for the Word of God is quick and powerful. The Word of God is living. Quick means living. God's Word is a living Word, and it's powerful. And sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and of the joints and of the marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. And so on. To us, God's Word it's a very comforting Word. It's a very healing Word. It's a very sweet message. It warms one's cold heart. God's Word enlightens unto us the way of heaven. And the way of heaven unto a child of God is so bright that even on the darkest night one can see this beautiful lit way to heaven through the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter what Satan may bring onto us, what trial and temptation may beset us, what questions and doubts that one may have, it doesn't matter. The light of the Holy Spirit, of God's Word, continually guides us. The prophets of old have said that not even a fool is led astray from this way of salvation. So safe and secure are we here in God's kingdom. There is nothing which is able to tear us away from the love of Christ, as Paul reminded us. No, not even the principalities of power himself. And God's word reminds us that He will never leave us and He will never forsake us when we endeavor to believe in the place of a child. And in our text, we heard the main message of the gospel. Neither is there salvation in any other name, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we may be saved. Simply through the name of our Lord Jesus. And that is why it is so important for us that we endeavor to remain here in this place of the stable, that we would daily bow down before our Lord Jesus, humble our hearts, come on to the footsteps of repentance, and beg for forgiveness and peace. And God, our Heavenly Father, every day and at each moment throughout every day is offering unto you that grace, that healing word, that even now you can believe that all your sins and doubts are forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. And may God always keep us here in this stable, humble and bowing before this Christ child, and always willing to bring our gifts. And dear brother and sister, do not belittle the gifts that God has given you. Bring these gifts daily unto the manger, daily to there where the Lord and baby Jesus dwells, for indeed He dwells in the hearts of His own every day. And so, dear brother and sister, be bold in the Holy Spirit. Use these gifts that God has given you and uplift and comfort and carry and help one another. And so daily we celebrate Christmas. Isn't that so, dear brothers and sisters? And I also need to hear this gospel that, can I believe my sins and doubts also forgiven? I desire to believe with you, and in Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up His countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen.